Session number 9011, Reel 2.
What job were you doing that time?
I was on the dynamos then. And I was a turbine man, but my action station was done. Right, and when we come out that scrap, we had terribly bashed about. Well, I don't know what saved us. So it stripped 5,000 blades in one of our turbines as well.
Yes.
And when we come in, we laid all the port beam of the Invincible, see? And while we were laid off of ours, it was still in action. They was. Big stuff was coming over from the battle cruisers. And all of a sudden, there was a big flash on the Invincible. Done them all, bang, she went, and she broke right in half like that. And she went down. And we laid off, we was away from her then. Then while we was still on waiting orders, the Vice Admiral on the Shannon sent a wire across to us on the Chester and said, prepare to go in action again. Lawson sent a message back. We said, very sorry, haven't got a gun. We haven't got a man going action. All our men are either killed or seriously wounded. We had 10 guns on there. There were 38 killed on the upper deck and amongst the gunners. And there were so many ammunition party was killed. And we managed to get a lot of the wounded down below, including Jack Cornwall, laying on the mess stalls down below, see? Now then, we had to manoeuvre about with the destroyers. And that night, they said, well, you would have to get into English waters. So we was escorted into English waters by 3 light cruisers. I think it was the Sydney was one. I can't quite remember their names, who they was. 3 light cruisers. Southampton was one, I know. And Weymouth, I don't also, anyhow. And they got us into English waters. Well, while we was at that midnight that night, they come after us. The Germans come after us, see? Well, they fought them off and told us to get out as quick as we could. And we got away into English waters, put on speed, and they fought this battle out between. We don't know what happened, been here. And we got English waters. Well, that morning, when we got about 100 miles from Grimsby, Captain Lawson says, I'm going to stop the ship. He said, well, I'll have to take a chance. We can't take these men in, they're too bad. And he stopped the ship. And I asked us to get in the best rig we could to come up, and we buried the worst ones over the side, see? Had them in canvas, and we'd put a dummy shell in them and over the side. I forget how many we buried, I couldn't say. I know it was a terrible thing. Anyway, and then we got into, when we got into Grimsby, hospital train waiting for us, and they took the wounded up to Immingham, see? And of course Jack Cornwall died the next day, and we carried on in the ordinary way. Well, we went into dry dock, and the next day after they got us into dry dock, they said, we're going to get that war head out. I went over the gangway far so good and got behind a munition factory. Oh, gosh, how are you going to stop? Save my leg go up. Anyhow, eventually, what men was saved, what was all right, they sent on leave, and so many of us stood back. And then we had our leave afterwards. And then, of course, we was all done repaired. And after we was repaired, see, and how many weeks it was, we was in there quite a good time. And then we come out and joined the 2nd Light Cruiser Squadron. Mm-hmm. And of course, we had one or two actions after that, like with mine layers and mine sweepers and all that kind of thing. Then we had a very bad affair. We went out. The Germans IC fleet was out in September 1917, and or August 1917, and we had orders to go out, And we went to right over, and they was out, but they never come right out, see. And Beatty was out there as well. And so many of us, light crews and destroyers, was on the lookout. And, and eventually, when they did sound all action stations, see, for about an hour, and then they sounded all the all clear. And they said, they'd ordered, they said, well, stand by for returning. Well, we started to return.
Right, Bill. There's a wire down
I can.
Yeah, right.
I can give you a very interesting book ship.
I'll have a look at it later, shall
Yankee ones, the one for the food men.
Anyway.
Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, getting back there, we was going to return, and there was us and the Canterbury and the more light cruisers. They suddenly spotted a German fleet again, so we went back again. See, went back, and when we back, went back, the Zeps come out after us, and we saw the Zep signalling, and we saw the signalling coming from a periscope, from the submarines as well, see? It's clever, you know, Germans. Anyway, nothing happened. They said, oh, they're going back to tea. It's all right, they're going back to have a cup of tea, see? So, anyhow, eventually we had orders to return. Well, when we had orders to return, you see, we got so far, and one of our balloons had fell into the sea. So they ordered the Chester and the Falmouth to go back to destroy this. Well, we was junior ship, the Chester. The Falmouth was senior ship, and she done the leading, see? Right, we goes back and we finds this balloon. And they decided they're going to sink it. So they fired so many rounds in, they found it was no good. They can try and ram it, which was a silly thing to do. Anyhow, they tore it up as best they could. And then they said, well, we'll have to try and catch the fleet up now. See, we was messing about for 2 or 3 hours on this business. And eventually they said, well, we'll have to join the fleet up. And we put on speed, and we put on speed, see, and to join the fleet up. Now, we put the speed up to about 25 knots, which was pretty fast. And we was also doing a zigzag course, see? Doing a zigzag course, right, now then. We was doing a zigzag course, catching the feet up, and I'd just come off the first dog watch to go in the mess deck to have a basin of tea. I just picked this basin of tea up, and I was just going to drink it, when all of a sudden, what's that? I just said, Boatswain come along. He said, hey, ship struck a mine. So he goes up top. Ship hadn't hit anything. The Falmouth was stopped. Flames coming out of a funnel and smoke. A U-boat with two torpedoes, one in the engine room, one in the stokehole. And she was stopped dead. And we see her firing at something. We went round her, we saw this periscope. We went round her, see, like that, and we dropped this depth charges, about 3 depth charges, and we come right round again, and we saw that she was firing again at something, the Falmouth. We went round her again, we dropped some more depth charges. We come round again, our steering gear went out of order. So we had to steer the ship behind. So they sent a call out and 6 destroyers come over. 2 went after the trawler that was with this submarine and the submarine. 2 went after the trawler, 2 went after the submarine, and 2 went stand by the Falmouth. Well, she never went down that night. They never got the submarine, but this submarine had sent a wire to another submarine to tell them what course they was taking. Yes. Destroyers took her in tow, see? Mm. When they was 100 miles outside Grimsby, submarine put two more into her. And she lost another 9 men. They lost a good many men on the first couple of explosions. Now, they never got them submarines, but they lost two ships. They lost the Falmouth going. They lost the Falmouth at night. They lost the Nottingham going over in the morning, off of Bastrop, a U-boat. One of our submarines managed to sink an old battleship who belonged to Germany in Skagerrak. She was a very old packet, old donkey's years old, and that was all that happened. We lost two light cruisers over. Lost a light cruiser over messing about an airship. We lost a light cruiser coming out. The German fleet was reported out. And all we done was to sink an old battleship with a submarine, and we come back. And then we used to go out on night patrols after that. And then until the end of the war, and then, of course, that was the end of it, wasn't it? But we used to go out on night patrols, you know, very often. Once about every 7 or 8 days, we used to go on night patrols. And we often used to go over and lay minefields in what they call that place where the Chutney was burned? Horns Reef.
Horns Reef, yes.
We used to lay minefields in Horns Reef. Well, we went over and laid a minefield about 1917, 1918, 1917, something like that. We went over to lay a minefield, Ordinary, and we got so far back, and they ordered us back. Well, we never got back to about 6 or 7 hours afterwards. Well, when we got back, we find the Jerry's sweeping them up. So we sunk four of them, and they had no reinforcements. We just sunk them and come away. And that was it. Well, then I left the service. I come down here to, collapsed on a Chester. One night they carried me off there onto the hospital ship. Plessy was laying under Firth and Forth. And I was on there, I forget how long, and then I went from there into Leith Hospital in Scotland, and then from there I went to come down to Gillingham. And I was in there. Gillingham Hospital, and that was where I was invalided out from there. They found out that I'd lost me biceps and triceps in this right arm with concussion, and weakening. Well, I don't know what they don't exactly know what happened. It may have been when that mine affair.
You hit the mine in the ear.
Yeah. And they found out that it was wasting. See? And then they put me outside. They gave me a silver badge and took me home.
What did you enjoy most about things in the Navy?
I think the best thing I ever enjoyed was when I went out to India, Bombay, with the King and Queen, you know. And they give us an extra month's pay and 21 days furlough on it. I hope he's got it. I think that was the best. One of the best occasions I was home in the service. You see, and mind you, I wasn't up against the service in any way until war was declared. You see, well, when the war came, of course, it altered the environment of everything. The mentality was different altogether. You see what I mean? Everything. I mean, say people got irritable. Officers changed, and the officers changed, and everything else. You see.
Well, you liked the pre-war officers much better, did you?
Oh yes, very. Mind you, we had some wonderful officers, and we had some very funny ones as well. Mind you, I take my hat off to Captain Lawson.
What were the funny ones?
Well, you know, a bit tedious about the routine and except, you know, have you up on the quarter deck for the least little thing, you know, and all like that kind of thing. I'll give you an example. They always set me up on the funnel to paint the funnels, you see, a leading stoker. And I was painting the funnels. And it was after dinner when I hoisted me up and he put the chain round the old pile of thing, you know, and I come down with a pot of paint. And eventually this pot of paint went on the quarter deck. Didn't matter about me, about the pot of paint. Come here, that man! Anyhow, I come here and he says, what do you mean? I said, well, I couldn't help that, sir. I said, sir, the leading hand. He said, who's the leading hand? I said, love it. He said, where is he? I said, I don't know. He said, well, go and find him. So when I found Lovett, he was hiding in the fan case and in one of the engine rooms. So I said, here, come on, you're wanted. He said, I thought he was dead. I said, no, I'm not dead, I'm still alive. So he says, come on, I said, you're wanted on the quarter deck. He goes on the quarter deck. He said, lined us up there, two of us. His commander says, who made you a leading hand to love it? He said, yeah, you did, sir. He said, oh, they have more bloody sense, he said. So anyway, he said, you'll clean this up, he said. You'll clean all this paint off the turrets, he said. And you'll clean this, all this paint off of the upper deck, he said. You'll come up here 2 hours a night, he said, until it's cleaned. So we had to go up there every night for about 2 hours, a lump of holy stone, sand, and get all this paint up. Well, you see, doing that for so long, that one spot where that paint was, it was absolutely spotless, so clean. So to get his own back, or I'll put it on here, won't I? To get his own back, you see.
Got that bit of the deck cleaner than the rest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we only stoned it, you see, so much with sand, and then he cleared the lower deck and got all the sailors. He had all the sailors up there. We was one the leading stoker, and I was a stoker, first class, see, then. And he said, here you are, he said. He said to these able-bodied seamen, he said, stoker's come up, he said. Show you how to do the decks. He said, look how clean it is. Now, he said, I want you all up here at 4 o'clock in the morning, he said, until it's all like that all over the decks. Oh, blimey, never showed our face near a sailor after that. No. Oh, my God.
Which ship was this in?
I was in the Inflexible.
Inflexible.
Yeah. And we made ourselves very scarce then. Anyway, eventually, when I come out, I don't know if this would be interested to you. I used to go to these different hospitals and have massage. When I was discharged from the Surgeon General, I had to go before a Surgeon General in Chatham here, and he gave me my silver badge and discharged me, and they took me home on the Monday. And then I was having this treatment in certain hospitals, and I finished up in Queen Mary's Hospital, Stratford. And when I asked them to put me off, I said, I can't take no more of this. I said, I want to come off, I said, and go to work. So I had to report up on London Bridge. There used to be some insurance companies' places on London Bridge. Well, they made that an exchange place for discharged men who could find them work, like as a labour exchange, you see. Well, I went up there and I told them that I was out of the Navy and that, and they said, asked me where I lived, Plaistow, in the East End of London. They said, oh, we've got a job going here for you. So I said, oh. So I said, where is it? They said, Printers, Kerwin's. So I said, all right, I'll go down there. So I went down and see Mr. Kerwin, very nice man. And I showed him my papers, and he said, come in Monday, he said, and said, what I can do for you. So I went in on the Monday, and he started me up, and he put me on a monotype machine. Well, I couldn't take this, because there was lead coming out of it. Mm. Had a monotype machine, boiling lead, and it started affecting my throat. And I said to Mr. Cohen, I said, I'm sorry, after being on the sea and being in the fresh air, I said, this is affecting me. So he said, all right, I'll take you and try you on the litho department. So he took me in the litho department, where a girl was operating these machines, and they was plate graining machines. When doing polishing stones, the old method of lithographic printing, see? So anyway, I went in there and I picked up this job. He trained me for it, and I worked there for 14 years. See? I was a qualified man then.
Yes.
And then the economic crisis broke out. And when our economic crisis broke out, he kept me on for about 2 or 3 weeks without doing anything. And he come to me one morning, he said, I'm very sorry, Bert. He always called me by my name, Bert. He said, I'm very sorry, I can't keep you on no longer. He said, I shall have to give you a notice. And he gave me a fortnight's notice, and I was out of work for 1 year and 4 months. And I had 3 youngsters then. It was a struggle. And I used to sign on at a labour exchange in Romford, and I always had to go up for me money at the Doughty Street, where Charles Dickens had a house there, you know, many years back, and where he wrote some of his books. And I used to have to draw my pay there through the trade union. And I used to get another about 16 shins a week extra on my labour pay.
Mm.
Well, then, that lasted about 12 months, see? Then they had me up at means test.
Mm.
And because I was living in Jack Cornwall's cottages at the time, and because I was getting a war pension, they knocked so much off my pay. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't fair.
Mm.
I don't think it was fair. Anyway, eventually it was like, after a small period, they gave me my money back again.
Yes.
So I went back on my ordinary allowance, see?
Mm.
And I was living in Jack Cornwall's memorial then, in cottages there. There was six cottages in Hornchurch. And there was, every man was a Navy man in there, see? And one man that was in the first house had lost one. He was on the Chester with me. He was Chief Yeoman of Signals, Doug Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He lost a leg in the Jutland.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the other one taken off 16 years after because gangrene set in. Mm-hmm. See? Well, eventually he died. And then somebody else took his place, you see. And if any of us died, the wife could carry on just the same. Mm. And the idea of these Jack Horn Common cottages was that he was taken up from Immingham, buried in Manor Park, which was his hometown. Mm. His father was killed in France. They brought his father and buried him at the side of Jack Cornwall. Then his mother died, and there were so many funds was...
Yeah.
Left.
Did you know Jack Cornwall himself?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I knew his sisters, and I've seen met his sisters.
Mm.
And eventually, when the mother died, there were so many funds was left.
Mm.
Well, they formed a
trust?
Trustees, trust, see? Yeah. And they bought a piece of land off of Beard, who was the richest man in Essex at the time, a baker. He was a Marston Baker, and he was also a piece of justice, a piece outside. Beard, his name was well known in Essex, and then they built these cottages.
Mm.
Six. Three, two, 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 in three pairs, see?
Yeah.
Grounds was looked after by gardeners.
Mm.
Decorations was done by the trustees. Your own gardens you looked after. And it's 7 shins a week rent. And the decoration done by...
Mm.
And then, about 3 years ago, before I come here,
yes,
they put it up to 15 shins a week. And they were splendid places.
Mm.
And, of course, I lived there for For 44 years I lived there, and then I lost my wife, and I stood it for 3 years, and looking after myself, doing everything, and then I got a bit lonely, and I decided I'd ask to come in the sailor's home, and then I eventually come in here, you see. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
While I'm interesting, but what was Jack Cornwall? What did you think of Jack Cornwall? Did you think they made rather more? I mean, he was a fine chap and all that, but did they make too much fuss of him? Do you think?
Well, there was 15. Just a minute, Mister.
He was the telly boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's frightened out of his life.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all right, Bill. There was 15 boys aboard the ship.
Yeah.
7 was killed. And 7 survived.
Yeah.
Bill Boy was killed, and Wilkinson, when the boys that was on the bridge, he was killed. Well, I can't go through all of them, you see. Anyway, what actually happened was he was taken to Birmingham, you see. And then it went the next morning, you see, when they buried the dead and they took him in. He was took into Birmingham, and then they brought him down to Manor Park, you see. But actually, the boy itself, well, I can't describe it. If the gun had been elevated a little more, he perhaps wouldn't have got this wound that actually finished him off. He got a wound in a thigh here somewhere, besides another wound. But he was leaning against the gun shield. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And Lawson, who had a wire around his neck, and the commander had his leg smashed, but they got this wire away from the captain's neck anyway. He saw him, and he recommended him to Beatty. Beatty recommended him to Jellicoe. Jellicoe recommended him to, what was his name? The Admiral. Beresford, was it? Charles Beresford. And Charles boosted it up, and he got him the VC. See?
Yes.
And that's how he got his VC. But whether... whether all this thing happened that they boosted about actually things, that whether that happened, I couldn't say. See? All I know is that when I come up from down below and the sight I see, I'd never like to see again. It was a terrible sight because they'd smashed us up and they'd slaughtered the upper deck people. There was an Indian artificer got up the fixed the what's the name, Former's gun, the Former's funnel, I should say. I'm sorry, Former's funnel, and I don't know whether he got anything. I think he got something for it anyway.
What did the other people on board think about Jack Cornwall's VC?
Well, you see, we didn't know him long enough. She commissioned a 2nd of May, and she was smashed up on the 31st of May. So we didn't...
It hadn't really shaken down.
So we didn't actually know him, like, long enough aboard a ship, you see, to know him, to understand the crew. You see, before the crew had settled down properly, she was smashed up, and there was a lot killed, you see what I mean? And the ship was smashed up. I couldn't describe it, see, not properly.
But afterwards, did people, what did they say about it?
Well, you see, the schools had a collection. All schools had certain collections. And that's where all this money come from, to build that memorial in Yorn Church, you see. And that's how that come about.
Yeah.
But going back to my work again, would you, I better not. You don't.
And I prefer the earlier stuff, actually, yes. What about, in the period before, what did you, probably a bit of the last question, really. What did you dislike most about the Navy?
Well, the most thing I think I disliked was the conditions that was down below, you know, the conditions of burning coal with oil. You see what I mean? When you burn oil with coal, put it that way,